Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. God's word is life.
So just an aside before I begin my official homily, that song always makes me think of an experience I had in Australia this year. A lot of the little towns in the area where we went are dying. And some people have taken the initiative to seek out grants for art projects. And so the little towns have got cement silos, and artists paint on the cement silos. But one of the little towns we went to did not have a silo, but they did have a uniting church, which is the equivalent of the United Church here. And the artist painted on the whole sanctuary wall a picture of wisdom personified as a woman. It was stunning. And I keep that vision strong and clear in my mind, to walk into a uniting church and see what they were doing to help to revitalize the town. United is good. Anyway, on to the homily, or the reflection, I think you call it here. So last week, those of you who were here may remember, or ought to remember, what we talked about. And one of the things we reflected on was what it means to be rich towards God. And it's fortunate that today's reading just continues on from last week's reading. Fortunate for Daniel, because I gave him the wrong reading to choose hymns from, but somehow the Holy Spirit works and the hymns are quite appropriate for today as well. What we have is Jesus in the Gospel of Luke continuing with his teaching about God's ways. He's giving his disciples hope so that they can be more connected with God's ways, which are so different from human ways. And so in today's passage, there were three lines or things that stood out for me, and I'd like to share them with you, and we could take a few moments to do some exploring together. So the first focus is found in the very first line of the reading. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So this fear thing, what is it? What are we afraid of? I think fear lives inside of us all in big and small ways. We fear what we can't see. We fear what we don't know. We fear losing control of our lives. We fear making ourselves vulnerable to another person. And then we fear getting hurt. We are afraid of what others might think of us, and on it goes. And because it doesn't feel good to be afraid, we try to escape from it, or we develop some pretty creative ways to try to ignore it. We heard last week about the rich fool who had so much abundance that he did not want to share, that he had to build bigger barns so he could keep it for himself. Maybe we indulge in comfort food or drown our sorrows. What Jesus wanted his disciples to know back then and wants us to know today is that it is God's overwhelming generosity that becomes our focus when we choose to let God live in those spaces that are occupied by fear. And at the very core is God's divine generosity, the amazingly tender concern that God has for each one of us, God's generous pleasure. And so Jesus invites us to know, to really know, that every moment, both right now and into the future, rests in the safety and the lavish generosity of God's love. And we don't need to be afraid because God has our back. And when we're no longer afraid, it becomes possible for us to let go of our attachments that do us harm or distance us from God and the ways of God. The second focus is that line that says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So once we get it that God has our backs and we don't need to be afraid or live in fear, we find that our eyes become clearer, and so do our hearts, so that we can discern what our treasure really is. We are invited to embrace life and every moment that is given to us fully. And rather than operating out of neediness, we grow in our capacity to embrace that abundance that God so graciously gifts us with. And because we are disciples of Jesus, we know that Jesus depends on you and on me right here and right now to share that abundance in the kind of lives that we live. And so we grow, and our treasure then becomes a thankful, love-filled heart that wants nothing more than to share it, so that others can know it too. And the third focus we hear at the very end of today's reading. "You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Ready for what? Well, the person who wrote the Gospel of Luke wrote it about 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the early community was still expecting and fervently believing and hoping for the physical return of Jesus. And they were getting tired, and they were actually wrestling with having been in a state of readiness for his return, and they weren't getting any results. And so Luke was trying to shore up the community. He was trying to tell them, don't lose heart. Don't become careless about waiting. Keep on being prepared for that moment when we see Christ again. Now, you and I know today, some 2,000 years later, that being ready for the coming of Jesus is less about an actual time and place, and it's more about imagining Jesus' activity in the world. When and where you least expect it or even imagine it to be. And being without fear, knowing the source of your treasure, which is your worth and identity as a beloved child of God, living in God's abundance, well, that makes it possible to be prepared for full participation in God's realm and bringing it close to others so that they may embrace it. You see, one of the primary calls of the church is to gather together to be nourished and rooted in the promise of God's good pleasure for all. We come here to be reminded of our identity as God's beloved. We come here to be affirmed and to grow in our own inherent self-worth and dignity. And then we take what we are given so that we can see all those we come in contact outside of these walls as also beloved and deserving of self-worth and dignity and God's good pleasure. And when we discover that, as we give ourselves in love and service and outreach, we have a much clearer vision of God's realm, which is actually happening right now. And when we live in God's economy, we receive so much more than we could ever imagine. More love, more joy, more peace, more kindness. And boy, doesn't the world need that today. More generosity, more faithfulness, so that we will always have more to give. That generosity of God's good pleasure just never stops, because that's exactly how God works. So let's be prepared. We have all the spiritual tools we need. God makes sure of that. So tuck your garment in your belt and get ready to work. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and the broken and hurting world is so waiting for you to love them. Amen.